Hey, Weird Family. We're the Morbid Makers, Jamie and
Krista.
And this month we celebrate July 4th. And we're going to tell you two tales of the military. One being the positive one, and one highlighting the darker side. Both our husbands are military, and we always celebrate and remember those who chose to defend our country.
Of course.
And today, we're going to tell you some stories of heroes.
However you define hero, the label dares us to ask, what would we do in wartime situations? Would we charge into the battlefield of gunfire to save our brothers and sisters standing next to us in battle? Would we save civilians we never met? Would we sign up for active duty in the first place? Whether you would or not, these individuals did. And we're going to give you a few short stories of the heroes and their sacrifices.
So, first up is John Vassalone. He was a gunnery sergeant during World War II. He was the only Marine to receive the Medal of Honor and the Navy Cross during World War II. Sergeant Vassalone, with his gun team at the Battle of Guadalcanal, defended a narrow pass, basically becoming a human force field against the Japanese. After this battle was won, Vassalone was offered a basic training position, which was safer than the battlefield. He turned it down and went back into action, giving his life on the battlefield in Iwo Jima.
Jacqueline Cochran is the next one, and she was the pilot of the Women Air Force Service Pilots, which is also known as WASP, and trained pilots for the program during World War II. She earned the U.S. Distinguished Service Medal in 1945, and then she joined the Air Force Reserves as a lieutenant colonel and received her Air Force Command pilot wings and three Distinguished Flying Cross medals.
Audie Murphy, a young man from Texas, who quickly earned rank and became one of the most decorated heroes of World War II for many of his selfless acts. One act, which earned him his Medal of Honor, Murphy mounted an abandoned burning tank destroyer by himself with only a machine gun. He was wounded at the time, but he stalled the Germans long enough for the Allies to mount their counterattack that caused the Germans to retreat. This is one of his many contributions to the war in which he earned many medals. After his service, he returned home and acted as himself in the movie To Hell and Back.
Oh my goodness, so not only did he relive it in real life, yes, he chose to relive it again as an actor.
Yes.
Mm-mm-mm. The next one is about a woman who did not serve, but she played an integral part in the Revolutionary War. Her name is Linda Darragh. The British commandeered her house in Philadelphia, and she overheard them plotting a surprise attack. And then she was like, oh no, you don't. And she left her home and alerted American officers of the attack. This act ensured that General George Washington was prepared for the British advancement.
Good for her.
I know.
Next, we have Deborah Sampson. She disguised herself as a man for 2 years and fought as a Continental soldier in the Revolutionary War. She was shot in battle, and rather than going to the infirmary, where she could be exposed, she dug the bullet out of her own leg. Mm. Even though she was able to hide her true identity for 2 years, she became gravely ill during the war. This led to the examination that exposed her. She was honorably discharged for her exemplary services.
It's okay.
And she became one of the first female lecturers, and upon her death, her husband was the first man to receive a widow's pension.
That's great because, you know, back in the day, women couldn't serve. It was illegal for them to serve in the military. That's why you see a lot of women,
yes,
acting as men. And again, speaking of women who will do anything to serve, Jeanine Hodgers, also known as Albert Cashier, when she served, left Ireland. So she was an Irish native for the U.S. and signed up to serve in the 95th Illinois Infantry as a man. It is estimated that she fought in over 40 Civil War battles and once escaped capture by stealing a gun from a guard. This woman was vicious.
Yes.
She also braved snipers to retie her company's flag to a tree.
Wow.
I know. And this is somebody that didn't come from America. She immigrated here,
mm-hmm,
and she loved the freedom of this country so much that she decided to join.
And women sneaking into the military appears to be the theme back then. It's really amazing to me that these women want to stand up for what they believe in. They technically broke the law to protect it. Kathy Williams was another one. She was the first African-American woman to enlist in the U.S. Army in 1866. She joined the 83rd U.S. Infantry during the Civil War as her male pseudonym of William Cathy. She put her name backwards. I like
that. Yeah, that's really cool. But I want to just, it was the 38th Infantry.
Oh, 38th.
I know, I'm the same way. I read things backwards all the time, especially when you have a lot of words.
Mm-hmm. She served 2 years of her 3-year tour before being hospitalized due to contracting smallpox. She was found to be a woman and was dismissed. What's even more sad, she was denied military disability payments, and her health finally failed, and she passed in 1893.
Oh my goodness, it's because she, you know, she joined illegally, mm-hmm. unfortunately. That's a shame. And of course, these women did not have to sneak into the military, or this woman particularly that we're about to talk about did not have to sneak into the military, Virginia Hall. She was the first female operative of the British, oh my goodness. Let me try this again, guys. I'm sorry. I don't know why I'm getting so tongue-tied. I think my emotions are catching up with me. But Virginia Hall was the first female operative of Britain's Special Operatives Executive to be sent into France during World War II. She was known by the Gestapo as the most dangerous of all Allied spies, and it was of the utmost importance that they found the woman with a limp. Since Hall had a prosthetic leg. She was a spy for 3 years until she had to escape on foot through the Pyrenees Mountains. Later, she requested to be sent back to the occupied France to become a wireless radio operator, where she reported the movement of the German troops. After her service in war, she joined the CIA in 1951. And you can see her in the Spy Museum in Washington, D.C. So if you've never been there, it's actually really cool. That's fine. I know it's not part of the Smithsonian. It's a different thing, so you will have to pay to get in.
Okay.
But it's a really cool museum to go check out.
Okay. And, you know, not all heroes carry a weapon. Desmond Doss, a conscientious objector, was a World War II medic. He single-handedly saved 75 American soldiers' lives during the... Oh, gosh, I'm getting... Yeah.
I would say the media.
Media escarpment?
Escarpment?
Escarpment of Okinawa in 1945, and I'm sure I said that wrong.
It's okay, guys. You can always correct us. We will not be upset.
He even treated his own serious injuries himself to save stretchers for others. He earned the Medal of Honor, making him the first conscientious objector to do so.
See, even if you are a conscious objector, you can still help out. You don't have to have a gun. You don't have to shoot and kill, but you can still support the army.
Yes.
Or military in general. The next one is another World War I fighter pilot, and his name was Frank Luke. Living up to the reckless image fighter pilots have, in 9 days, he flew over 10 missions in 30 hours of flight time, shooting down 14 German observation balloons and 4 German aircraft. On his final mission, which was on September 29th, 1918, his plane went down in a small village in France, after which a Congressional Medal of Honor was issued for his bravery.
Another World War II hero, Henry Johnson, was part of the black regiment called the Harlem Hellfighters. That's a badass name.
That is a badass name.
His nickname was equally awesome. He was known as Black Death during wartime.
Mm-hmm.
He suffered 21 wounds and rescued a soldier by repelling an enemy aid in Aragon Forest during World War I. Unfortunately, due to errors in his discharge papers, where they did not include his injuries, he did not receive his Purple Heart, nor was he awarded disability pay.
Mm.
He died young at the age of 32, but his legacy lives on through his son, Herman Johnson, who served with the infamous Tuskegee Airmen. If you don't know about them, I implore you to look into them. They were the first black Army Air Corps pilots who fought in World War II.
Yeah. I mean, that's a shame. That person gave up his, you know, sacrificed all of that and he still didn't get his disability pay or even just the Purple Heart because of the injuries. But good for him for fighting.
Yes.
And I know we've been doing a lot of talking about World War I, Revolutionary War, you know, all the heroes of old. But let's move on more to the now. On November 6, 2005, during the Iraqi War, Lance Corporal Josh Mui ran into a heavily fortified building that the insurgents were attacking. He sued the enemy and rescued his wounded fellow Marines. He did this 6 times until his rifle was destroyed and he was ordered to stop. He was awarded the Navy Cross and is now a Chicago area police officer. Oh, and he was only 19 when he displayed this act of heroism.
Wow.
This man is crazy because he went from there to being a Chicago police officer. Good for him.
He's definitely about protect and serve.
Mm-hmm.
So, early in the Iraqi war, on April 7, 2003, ground forces ran into trouble on the North Baghdad Bridge. Enemy fighters had blocked the site with allies advancing. A-10 fighter pilot and then-Captain Kim Campbell was called in to provide air support. Campbell call sign Killer Chick, who deployed explosive rockets and scored a direct hit. But returning from the weapons pass, her A-10 sustained heavy damage. The jet rolled left, pointing toward the ground. Nothing Campbell did worked. She had lost all the jet's hydraulics. At this point, Campbell flipped the jet into manual reversion. Still, no steering, no brakes. Regained control, flew the jet more than 100 miles back to Kuwait, and became one of just a handful of people to land an A-10 manually. Lieutenant Colonel Campbell was awarded a Distinguished Flying Cross for her efforts.
Oh my goodness. Could you imagine being like that situation to have that frame of mind? Yeah. Oh, especially to fly for 100 miles after that? Good for her. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's one more hero we would like to mention, and that's Lance Corporal Kyle Carpenter. In November 21st, 2010, he, alongside his friend, Lance Corporal Nick Eufrasio, were providing security on the rooftop at a combat outpost the Marines had established the previous day. Shooting commenced, and the two had to lay on their backs in order to avoid the gunshots. An hour later, the Taliban began getting closer to the compound, and they launched 3 grenades at the Marines. One landed in the center of the base, injuring an Afghan soldier. The second detonated near a post that was already destroyed the previous day, so it didn't injure anybody. And the last landed on the roof that Carpenter and Nick occupied. Carpenter jumped on the grenade, absorbing the majority of the explosion, causing the blast to be deflected down rather than up. So he saved some lives. Carpenter was severely wounded with injuries to his face, jaw, and upper and lower extremities. Oh my goodness. Nick received shrapnel to his head, but both men survived. Carpenter received the Medal of Honor for his bravery that day.
There are so many more heroes we could talk about on this podcast. It amazes me that so many men and women fight for our country in order for us to continue to enjoy freedoms we have.
And we are so very thankful for that.
Yes.
And like I mentioned at the beginning of the episode, 4th of July is this month, so let's not forget the ones who sacrificed to protect our country.
Yes. And if you have a hero you'd like for us to shout out, you know, let us know. We'll give them a shout out and salute them here on the podcast.
Yes.
On Facebook.
Anything. Please let us know. We would definitely, we are definitely okay to shout everybody out. We definitely support our military.
Yes. And like always, tune in next time for another tale. Click, like, subscribe. Also, rate us and review us on our podcast, wherever you listen to it at. Apple, Google, Spotify, Anchor.
Yes.
That gets us up in the rankings. And make sure you check us out on YouTube, where we share crafts that go along with our podcast.
Yeah, because we'll have a great craft to go along with this one. Also, if you'd like, please check out our Facebook and Instagram. We're always updating that one as well. But until next time, be relentless.
Be unstoppable.
Be the weird.